Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Well, it's great to be back again, Phil, after a week off.
I missed you, Rick.
Well, I missed you desperately. Oh.
Yeah. Enough of that.
But good, dear listeners, I will admit that during this week off, something completely rare happened, and that is that Phil actually separated himself from a $10 note, and that is amazing.
How did I do that? Yes, I lost the bet. A wager on Freeling Betting Central, and it didn't happen, Rick.
It didn't. And I tell you what, folks, this is the first time I've ever seen him put his hand into his pocket and pull out any money whatsoever. What even surprised me more is that I knew as an honest man he would eventually pay me, but I was sure it would be deposited on my front lawn as cans and plastic bottles with a 10-cent deposit on them. But an actual $10 note. Anyway,
did you notice it was one of those old $10 notes? It's one of the originals of mine.
That's right. I think it was the first one you ever earned.
I think it was. Anyway, Rick,
don't worry, folks. Just before we finish that, he's going to owe me another 20 as well when at the end of the footy season.
I'm paying that in instalments.
Anyway, okay. We better get on with the show.
Yeah, look, Adam Goods keeps raising.
Adam Goods. Well, yep. I guess it corresponds with the fact that this documentary called The Last Quarter is about to go to air. It seems as though everybody in the world's basically seen it, except I think it's going to be viewed nationwide on Channel 10 either this week or next week. And it raises the issue of the whole concept and accusation that the public got into him and the booing, etc., etc. And I don't think we need to go over the whole thing again. The only comment I'd like to make is that I admire Adam Goods as one of the greatest footballers I've ever seen in my lifetime. And I will admit that even at halftime, I stood up and applauded him when he actually beat Port Adelaide in the preliminary final on Adelaide Oval when Port were red hot favourites. I think it was 2003. And he won the game on his own. I mean, there is no question about his ability as a footballer. And there's no question about, you know, we won't go through, you know, his couple of Brownlows and premierships and All Australian and everything else. Undeniable. The only thing I'd make comment on is that I believe that Adam Goods changed. And I'm not sure quite of the dates now, but all of a sudden from being the absolute perfect footballer, Brownlow medalist, et cetera, et cetera, he started getting reported, et cetera, and being found guilty. And his whole sort of behaviour seemed to change to me. And, you know, I've seen a lot of Aboriginal footballers over the years, and there's been, you know, vast numbers of them, from Polly Farmer to McLeod to Cyril Rioli to Gavin Wanganeen, whatever. And the comment I'd like to make is that none of those guys got booed. And in fact, Phil, nor did Adam Goods for the first 300-odd games
he played. No, Rick, he did change, I've got to admit. And fantastic footballer, no doubting that. But and then he was doing those, you know, like bow and arrow things to the crowd and some Aboriginal chants. And, I mean, that all just sort of stirs the crowd up a little bit, doesn't it?
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll quote an old science principle that as far as I can see, and then probably we'll move on, Adam Goods changed. And for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And as I said, for 300 games, he didn't get booed. In fact, he was cheered and basically idolised. And you have to ask why all these other Aboriginal players never get booed. And why after 300 games, he did.
Mm.
And I honestly believe, whether it was purposefully done or not, his behaviour and actions changed and the crowd's response to him changed. Now, you know, maybe two wrongs don't make a right, but there you go.
I reckon he went out on a bit of a sour note in the end because of those, exactly what you've just said. I reckon it was a bit of a, you know, he could have left the game in a better way than he did. And
I guess he got wound up. I mean, he was into, as it were, in American terminology, probably civil rights concepts.
Yeah,
But, you know, I think there's an old Olympic, you know, phrase or in that, you know, you don't get politics involved in sport,
yeah.
Whether it's been done deliberately or not. Anyway,
enough of that, anyhow.
Now, really? Listen, what about how well are the Aussie one-day cricket team going?
Well. Hey, Warner and Smith, they're just carving it up. And
well, they are, and also the bowlers are really on
Fives, they're getting fifers. Yeah. And,
but you know why I reckon it's happened? Cricket's been around a long time, and would you believe that they are proudly boasting that they have discovered something new? The concept is new.
What would it be, Rick?
It only goes to show what scientific kinesiology and studying of everything. Do you know what they've decided this good idea?
What are they going to do?
They're going to bowl at the stumps.
You're joking.
Why
would you do that all of a sudden?
Well, I mean, it's a new concept. I do not understand how it's taken.
I wonder how they got onto that.
Unbelievable.
Really?
What?
That's unreal.
Isn't it?
Well, that's why they're paying those coaches all that money and, to discover that sort of thing.
That research. Just didn't fall out of trees.
It's research. Is that what they're going to do?
Hit the top of the off stump. I reckon I can remember someone telling me that when I was two, but they've only just discovered it in the Australian cricket
team. I don't know about you, but every time I went out on the back lawn playing cricket, I always tried to bowl those stumps over. I don't know about you.
It does make life a bit more interesting. You know, you can take wickets if you hit the stumps, or if they're in line, they'll be amazing, isn't it? No wonder Langer's got the boys on fire. We're going to pitch the ball up and try and hit the stumps.
That's unbelievable.
Well, it's a revelation, isn't it? Wow. I mean, I would say that they might as well put the engraving on the World Cup already.
Are they going to win it?
Oh, well, now that they're going to hit the stumps.
Perhaps the Redbacks ought to try that. They've got to make the runs to defend them, though, don't they?
They may make a fortune out of copywriting the idea of pitch
imagine
the ball
if
up.
Another team tried that.
Oh.
I hope they don't
hit the top of the off stump, eh?
All right, enough of that.
Fantastic. Speaking of the Redbacks, actually enhance. A sad note, I think, is that it would seem as if, you know, I guess it's the foundation stone hasn't been laid as yet, but it would seem as if this unfortunate occurrence of the Adelaide Oval Hotel is likely to go ahead.
Is it going ahead?
Well, it would seem as if it's going ahead at this point in time.
Would that mean the caterers from the Adelaide Oval would then be catering for the hotel out there?
I've actually come up with an idea, and it is that since the Sky Casino Adelaide redevelopment have proudly announced that they are building a hotel...
How many more do we need?
Well, not only is it are they building one, but they are going to be these high quality, absolutely flash rooms.
Really?
And I've got and what's more, they will be looking across the River Torrens at the Adelaide Oval, whereas the Adelaide Oval Hotel will have its back to the Adelaide Oval, and we will get the cathedral. I will admit.
Okay. Yep.
And the Children's Hospital. But I've got an idea which might help out the Sacker with their $180,000 plus
catering.
How's this for an idea? They could subcontract them to the Sky Casino Hotel.
Why don't they? I wonder where they could.
Well, you know,
they'd be pretty busy though then, because imagine all the meals they'd be doing now in the Hill of Grace, the big restaurant there, isn't it?
It was there, but it's closed. Did you
know? Closed.
It's closed.
Oh. Close. They would have had to lay some staff off, wouldn't they?
No, I'm not sure, but it's no longer functioning. On the website, it actually uses the excuse, which obviously they must have known either something a long time ago, but they're using the excuse that it's been closed because of, quote, the Adelaide Oval Hotel development. Now, perhaps there's been a deal done a long time ago that we didn't know, or maybe it wasn't doing well enough. Who knows?
Oh, that I didn't know that. Sorry, Rick. I brought that up just out of the...
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, but if
I
you
hope
were
none
going
of those caterers have lost their jobs, that's all.
And if you were going to take your darling wife there for your next celebration...
I was, actually.
Well, you're going to have to find another one.
She's going to be disappointed.
dear.
All right, enough of that too, Rick. We'll go on to, what about the local golf courses? What's happening there, Rick?
Oh, well, absolutely incredible. I mean, talk about hotel rooms and do, you know, this is, we are talking Adelaide. This is not New York City or Sydney or Melbourne. And we won't go through the details, but there's something like over 1,000, right, 1-000, either hotel rooms that have been given approval or are in some progressive stage of development around Adelaide. And that, on top of that, now we want the Adelaide Oval to build one. Sky Casino is definitely building one. But now, obviously, you'd like to think that it's all to do with tourism. Well, blow me down. We've got 2 golf courses now in our dear Barossa Valley who have announced that they are going to go ahead and build, redevelop their golf courses to attract the golfing world tourism. The first one at Sandy Creek, which seemingly is going to definitely go ahead because there's evidently Chinese money backing it.
Yeah.
That's going to be another 100-plus hotel room with a complete new revamped golf course. And lo and behold, today, a story in the Leader out of Angaston, the paper out there.
Yep.
Guess what? Barossa Valley Golf Course, right? At Newry, they have announced $30 million development of not only revamping their golf course, putting in a new pro shop, a $400,000 home for the manager. I thought I might apply for that one. and they're going to evidently do a sort of a bit of a McCracken, a Victor Harbour concept and sell off land around the golf course for development not only upmarket
like homes and,
but also a residential hotel type for the touring visitors. So, I mean, we won't know what to do with which hotel room we'll go to first, Phil.
What about poor old Tanunda Pines? They get left out.
Well, I don't know. They don't own the Novotel, I can tell you.
No, so, there you go.
So we are not going to be short on accommodation.
Well, might go up there for a weekend one weekend, Rick.
Well, I hope
get
I'm
the sticks out.
Well, I hope I'm wrong, but the only time I can visualise perhaps all these supposed rooms being filled would be for maybe whatever they call the Clipsal 500 these days, and maybe some short term when the fringe is on or whatever, but they can't feel them during.
But not all the way out at Newry, you wouldn't stay out there, would you?
Well, you wouldn't think so.
Anyway, there you go.
So we are going to be flush with rooms.
I'll tell you what, Rick, getting off of the golf, we're just onto the footy.
Yes.
Went to the footy Saturday night and I just about swam there and swam home. 27.5 mils of rain.
Well, what I was staggered by, you see, I couldn't believe you went. I thought you were a far more highly intelligent man than that.
Just a loyal Port supporter.
I was actually amazed that
pretty peeved off after the game, I can tell you that.
I was pretty amazed that there were about 25,000 of you there. Oh, I mean, very brave.
25,500, I couldn't believe it. they came out on the loudspeaker and said, oh, 25,500. I said, they must have counted the feet. The people in front just burst out laughing. It didn't look like 25,000, that's what I'm saying.
It didn't look like that from my lounge room. Yeah. I was quite comfortably off.
I was freezing cold.
Well, as you know,
very disappointing.
As you know, and I must tell our listeners that you did invite me to go, and I politely said I'm going to spend all day out at Freeling.
A lovely Freeling,
and that was cold and wet enough.
It was wet. Getting
on. I'm glad I went because I got $10 out of you for going to Freeling.
Yeah, I reckon you rigged that game. Anyway, getting on to the local footy this week, Rick. We are running out of time, but a couple good matches. Angaston and Newry at Angaston, Rick.
Oh, to be honest, Ango.
Well, beat Tanunda. Undefeated Tanunda last
week.
That's
right. Ango.
So Angaston for me.
Yes.
Barossa versus Tanunda.
Well, as I think in our last show, I haven't actually seen Barossa this year, but they seem a bit up and down to me. They actually got knocked off, admittedly, only just by South Gawler. I'm going for Tanunda confidence.
I am going for Tanunda. I watched a little bit of that Tanunda and Angaston game on the YouTube thing they do, and very wet and boggy at Tanunda, so it probably didn't help them. No excuse, same for both sides, but yeah, Tanunda for me too. The local derby. How would you call that in Gawler?
I'd call it the derby.
Yeah. Central versus South at Central.
Well,
at the dog track.
I'm almost hoping, and not almost, I'm hoping that I'll get given this game because I reckon it's going to be a ripper.
As Central I've said, on the way back.
They are definitely. I saw improvement. I mean, they started off shockingly, unbelievably. Well, I mean, that turnaround last week, they got beaten by Freeling in game two of the year by 92 points. Wow. And then they've turned it around and knocked them off by 5 goals. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen every week, but a few weeks ago, they were a bit unlucky not to beat Tanunda. And they've been, I've seen a lot of them. They've improved greatly. And I honestly think they can beat South Gawler this week. I really do.
I'm going South.
Well, there you go.
I'm not betting on football ever again. That hurt me.
I know it hurts
you. Kapunda. Kapunda. Oh, well, this is the light derby or derby.
That's right.
Kapunda versus Freeling at Kapunda.
Well, as much as Freeling were pretty disappointing last week, I saw Kapunda the week before, and I honestly reckon that if we found 16 other blokes, Phil, we could go out and beat Kapunda. There's a big
really?
Point. Yep.
Oh,
well,
okay.
We'll nearly beat them anyway.
No, yeah, I'm Freeling for me. I mean, big Koshel, and they got some else. See, Paul Thomas is now, I don't think he played last week, right, Rick. I don't think you were lucky enough to see him, but ex-Essendon and Central District's captain.
He'll make a difference to them.
Yeah.
The thing I found a little bit disappointing with is that they really haven't got the cattle. It's the story.
No depth at Freeling. No. You look at their Bees and they get done by 20 goals every week.
Unbelievable.
And dead set. Yeah. I mean, the guys are pretty big lads.
And there's not a lot of methodology there. I mean, big cocky Koshel. I mean, he gets his hand of the ball first just about all the time, but he does these sort of one-arm straight smashes, and the ball isn't directed to his teammates at all. It just, I mean, it might head in their direction, but not half the time it's...
Whoever's lucky enough to pick it up and go.
And you see, Joshy Hand must get exhausted from the kicks he gets, but he just bombs the ball away as well. But anyway, that's
it.
Now, listen.
Have we got a joke, Rick?
We have. The racehorse trainer.
Yep.
He was getting ready for the cup and was giving the jockey his instructions. He gave the horse something from his bag and said to the jockey, "Now, take it steady for the first few furlongs, keep out of trouble, then when you get to the milepost, really let her rip." Just then, the chief steward turned up and interrupted. He said, "Listen, excuse me, what was that you just gave the horse?" "Oh," said the trainer, "it was just a sugar lump." And the trainer popped one into his mouth. "Would you like one?" He took another lump of sugar out of the bag and gave it to the steward, who ate it. "Thank you," the steward said. "I'll carry on." After he'd gone, said the trainer, when he left, "Like I said, let him go at the milepost, and if anything passes you after that, it'll either be me or the chief steward."
Oh, no. I like that. Oh, that's very good, Rick. And that got passed by by our producer?
It did.
It did indeed. Have we got anything else?
I reckon I've got just, we'll close, we'll just go with one more quick joke.
One more joke, two for the day. Okay.
The guys were standing in the corner of the Olympic Village, three really young, healthy athletes, when this busty Oriental sprinter walked by.
Yep.
"By Joe," said the Englishman. "By the beard of Allah," said the Arab. "By tomorrow night," said the Aussie.
Well, that's two from two. Two good ones there, Rick.
And the producer even approved of that one.
Oh, she liked that one.
She did.
Even the busty bit. It didn't matter?
Did not matter
at all. Okay, very good.
Well, we've run over time.
We've
had a bit of fun. It's good to be back. And I hope everyone's enjoyed it. And so until next week, this is Rick.
This is Phil.